It's not impossible to see this. Several experiments have been quoted in somewhere here and there. Whenever people talk of mantras, quite a number of experiments have been quoted there. If you sit in front of a bowl of water, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, you go on doing that, there's some ripple, something will be formed there. So if that is true, then it is possible that in your own mind, in the cells of your own mind, in the cells of your own body, some changes may happen as you go on repeating this mantra. And that also may give rise to a vision within you. Yeah? It's quite possible.
In the book on Japa Yoga, Swami Sivananda mentions a woman who came to Rishikesh, who a singer, and when she sang certain syllables, she could a pattern would form in sound.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Are these universal patterns that would happen?
That's it. If it does not happen, then they say that you're not tuned properly. These are very difficult people to deal with. Even those great tantrics and mantra yogis and so on, they tell you, you repeat this in 10 days, you will see God. But you must repeat it with your mind, one point, with intense faith and intense devotion, etc., etc. And you repeat for 15 days, nothing happened, and he comes along and says, your faith was not quite good. It's risky. In the same Japa Yoga, you have a whole chapter on Purashcharna. Purashcharna is, it's a regimented way of repeating a mantra for a certain number of days. And it is said that if you do your mantra 100,000 times for each letter of the mantra, each syllable. If, for instance, in Om Namah Shivaya, there are 5 syllables. If you repeat this mantra for 500,000 times, take a mala and go on doing this. With certain disciplines, you must do it for at least 6 hours a day, minimum of 6 hours a day. And you must finish it within a certain number of days. And then you must perform some ceremonies before, after. You mustn't shave, you mustn't bathe, you must bathe 3 times a day, and you mustn't eat this, mustn't touch that, mustn't do that, and thou shalt not. If you rigidly observe all that, you will have vision of Shiva, something like that. But then, when you don't get it, they come around and say, oh no, you must have failed in one of those rules. Many of those rules are impossible.
Is there any purpose to thought?
Is there any purpose to thought? Who is asking the question? Another thought. So that is the purpose of thought already.
Well, just for general everyday living, is there any purpose
in that? No, thought is there to question.
And when you cease questioning, you cease thinking?
when I cease questioning?
Yeah.
That's a question already. When you cease questioning, do you cease thinking? That's a question. So why bother about the purpose of thought? How do I cease thinking?
Why should I want to cease thinking?
Exactly. That's again the thought. Yeah. That is the operation. Because thought thinks out those questions, thought continues to operate. It is only when one sees that it is thought that creates, that it is thought that thinks I am suffering, that suffering exists, then you begin to question, why should this thought think I am suffering? If I do not think I am suffering, as in sleep, I do not suffer. So why should I think at all that I am suffering? for a little while, if you are one of those positive thinkers and all those, you know, that gang, you continue to positive think, that is, even when you are knee deep, I mean, waist deep in that water, no, it is warm, it is positive thing. Suddenly you realize it's not possible. You are thinking on three levels at the same time. Something is thinking it is warm, and something else is thinking it is damn cold. And then you begin to wonder again, what is it that is thinking it is cold? It is that feels it is cold. And then you come back to the original state, saying, I must see what is it that is thinking I am suffering.
Wouldn't one just be deluding oneself?
Naturally, yes. Quite possible. So, and therefore one doesn't stop inquiring. And therefore one doesn't accept a verbal answer, God or cosmic being. I'm not satisfied with that. The word. What is the difference between word, Integral Yoga Institute? Three words. And when I write that, Integral Yoga Institute or three words, there I use a small w, and when I quote the Bible, God made the word, I am supposed to put that capital W, as if that makes a lot more sense than otherwise. I go away thinking that I have understood it. I have not. It's a word, still a word.
It represents something. Like that we were talking about a lake yesterday, and I was thinking about that. Like the lake represents something. It represents something we've created.
Thank you very much.
Shape.
Huh? You spoiled it. I know. Go on. Right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think I can still get you there. It represents something which I have created. Yes?
Which we have created.
Which we have created.
Yeah.
That's all. It's going round in a circle. I created something, and after having created, I named it. I created a word for it, and the word represents what I created. Represents means it presents what I created to me once again.
Right.
No right, nothing wrong.
I mean, I just see that...
Going down in circles.
But it's part of, living in this kind of world.
Oh, don't worry about that. Here.
Yeah.
Please admit that here we are lost. The word, you first created something. Huh? A concept called lake. And introduced this word into your own dictionary. And you go on chewing it like a cow. And it comes back to you, it represents. That is, it gives you back what you created.
But it has a function, it has a purpose.
Yeah, naturally you can go around and around. In order to... It may have a function, we are not concerned with that. But if it goes on round and round like this, I may not want to go around like this. Then I am questioning somewhere, what does this word represent? It represents, it brings back to me what I put into it. Nothing more. That is, thank you for starting this fun. That makes it a lot clearer. Represent does not mean something dropping from the heavens. It is represent.
Representing what to whom?
Nothing at all. Represent. You created the concept of lake and invented the word lake, L-A-K-E, and the word lake represents to you your own concept. That is what you put into it, and it presents. It gives back to you what you put into it.
You mean I can't get anything else?
You cannot get anything
else. But I'm there are different types of words then, like water. Water really means something, and lake is just...
You know,
a different...
you are talking by mystical language. Water means exactly what
it is.
No. What you put that concept into it, into that word water, and when you use the word water, it represents that concept back to you. But when you take a glass of water and put it into your mouth, the word water has come to an end. That is Vedanta. The word water has come to an end. The concept water has come to an end. Something is happening in you, which is indescribable.
So they're really very different types of words.
No, there are no words there. The word has come to an end. Okay. Knowledge has come to an end, and experience has begun.
Oh, I see. So water is not a concept, but lake is a
water
concept.
Is a concept. W-A-T-E-R is a concept. Lake, L-A-K-E, it's a concept. W-A-T-E-R is a concept. C-O-O-L is a concept. It's an expression of a concept, right? Twice removed. No mind. But we'll sort of, for our simplified discussion, we'll use it as identical, the concept and the word. But the truth concerning that word water, the truth concerning that word cool is different.
From the truth concerning the word lake?
No. We are merely trying to understand the meaning of the word water. The meaning of the word water is not the concept, but it is the truth of water itself. Even if you did not know the word water at all, that is, before you invented the word water, you drank a glass of marvelous. That is different. Then you call this thing water. And from then on, water represents the concept back to you. You go around in circle. You haven't got to the substance, to the truth.
Truth cannot be described.
Well, that you read it in Swami Shivananda's book.
So as soon as you use the word marvelous, then you've already made another concept.
Right, right, correct. And it will represent marvelousness to you. That thing is...
Do you mean that any speech takes us away from reality?
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. That's why most of these... from our point of view, enlightenment, they kept silent.
But when a child sees the lake and calls it water, or what you say...
That's already polluted. That child's
so that's
mind...
That's one step removed.
Two,
and then
two,
when
two
we
steps.
Call it ocean, it's two steps. Steps. Yes.
Because you spoil the child by turning the tap on and saying that is water. So the child associates this with that already. If you can watch, if you have read Helen Keller's book on biography and how she felt water, you may understand what I am talking about, just a little. We have the same definition in Bhakti Yoga also. Mukha Swadhanavati. What is the experience of God? Mukha Swadhanavati. It's a lovely expression. You stick a piece of chocolate or candy into the mouth of a deaf and dumb person. And you ask him, "But how's it?" That's all. In his case, every cell is vibrating with that truth. The word spoils it. sorry, we started somewhere and we are ending with the horrible expression, the word spoils it. Which is true, which is true. So they say Maunam. The knowledge of truth is silent.
The word in John, the beginning. The beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God.
John.
That's a different kind of word.
Very much like to meet John and ask him. One doesn't even know what the. What language did he write in? Bible scholar.
They say Greek. Did John wrote in Greek?
Shh. Do you know the meaning of the word Greek?
Logos?
No, no. Anything that you don't know is Greek. So we must find out from there what he meant.
It's a mystical concept of the word that you're saying that you don't want.
that's a beautiful way of avoiding the issue. We all do that. We all do that. You ask some of these chaps, they say Maya. Why don't you say I don't know? That's easy. So what the truth has to be discovered from within oneself. I'm saying Om, what does it mean? What is it object? What is it experience? That is called Om. He says something. Can his experience be transferred to me now? St. John saw something or experienced something and he said the word was with God. The word was God. And suddenly he threw it and it became flesh. Marvelous. I wish I could do that too.
But then everybody might have a different experience of the truth. And yet truth is one.
No.
And how would that reconcile?
Yeah, but how do you know that the experience is different? Isn't that another assumption? Some people assume that all of us experience the same thing, and you assume that our experiences are different. How do I know?
No, I ask the question. I don't assume. I ask, would everybody have a different experience, or would they
possibly
all have the same?
Possibly. Why shouldn't the same thing be experienced, not experienced differently? What's wrong with that? If it is infinite, infinite experiences are possible. If we are talking about infinite, infinite experiences are possible. If we are talking about the infinite is possible to be experienced as the infinite, which is one, same experience. Words. Only this much can be said. Your experience cannot be transmitted to me. This is obvious, terribly obvious.
Then you can telepathically. I mean, when you have a sense, an intuitive sense of
that
someone.
Intuitive nonsense. Sense is seeing is sense, hearing is sense,
yeah,
looking
yes
is sense.
Yes, but yes.
But intuitive nonsense. Right.
It's not sensual.
Right. Intuitive non-sense.
Mm-hmm.
even then, do we really transmit one another's experience? How do I know? How do I know whether if you are experiencing the same thing in the same way that I experience?
Well, the knowing itself.
Right, thank you.
Presupposes that you
thank
know
you
and
much.
All that.
Thank you.
And so
it's all supposition.
Well, who is the knower?
If both of us enter into the water and put our foot in the water at the same time, do we both feel that it is the same degree of coldness? Her argument as a scientist would be that since the temperature of the water here is the same as there, and since the body temperature is the same in both the living beings, the experience must be the same, no? That's it. There's no answer to that at all. So one has to say Om and see what happens.